today we're going to jump back into our summer school series. Last week we had Father's Day, and so we took a little break from it. But today we're going to jump back into our summer school series. And what we're doing is we're going to find different stories in the Bible, different lessons in the Bible. And we just kind of want to teach on it a little bit, or attempt to teach on it. And it always turns into preaching. And today I'm going to tell a little bit of the story of Moses. And as you know, Moses is one of the most incredible figures in the Bible. I mean, it just seems like when it comes to the Old Testament, he was God's man. And today I want to talk about the story from Moses, not so much everything that he did, but how he was born. Because there's some stuff in there that really, it's going to apply to your life. And maybe there's some things that you're going through today that I'm believing that this is going to challenge and grow your faith. Amen. Now, I have to be honest with you. I was excited about the message already. And so last night after dinner, I had a few other ideas that I jotted down. But I wrestled in my sleep last night. I felt like I preached this sermon 3 or 4 times. And the 3 o'clock service this morning was really, really good whenever I preached it. It was really good, and I was afraid that that would be the best one. But then this morning, the 9:30 service happened, and so it was really good. And so now we got the 11, and I'm hoping it is even better than the 3 o'clock and the 9:30. So y'all be praying for me. But there were some things that just through the night that I was thinking about that I wanted to make sure that we were able to communicate to you. And so it stretched the message really long, so we're going to be here till about 2 o'clock today. Not really. So what I decided to do was, instead of doing it all today, was to break it between today and next Sunday. So today, this is what I want to do. Today, I'm going to give you the story and the scripture, and there's a few things that we're going to pull out this week, and trust me, it's going to inspire your faith and get you moving. Next Sunday, though, I'm going to give you the practical side of it, okay? And so I don't feel like I can squeeze it all in today and do it justice, so I'm going to break it up between the next 2 weeks. Now, if you're out of town next week, it's okay. We'll load it on the podcast so that you're able to go back and listen to it. But if you are able to be here, you definitely want to be here next Sunday and get the practical side of it, amen? So let's jump into this today. And before I read the story, I want to give you a little bit of background, okay? There was this guy named Joseph, and he was the son of Jacob. Now, you got to lock in and listen, because I'm about to drop a lot of names on you, and you might get lost, okay? So hang with me. This guy named Joseph. See, I'm messing myself up. This guy named Joseph, he was the son of Jacob, okay? Now, Jacob is the one who God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And this is the beginning of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, okay? So Joseph is his son, and he comes into second in command in the nation of Egypt. So there's a Pharaoh who is the king, and Joseph has become second in command. And it's at a time during famine. And even though it was a famine, the nation of Egypt still seemed to thrive with Joseph in this position of leadership. And that's just something that happens when God's hand is somebody, when God's hand is on somebody's life. Even though the external conditions might be rough, they can still thrive. Amen. And so Joseph is in this position that he is second in command. They're thriving. The economy is going well. But Joseph gets older and he dies. And so does this king. He gets older and dies. And so now there's a new king, a new Pharaoh who is in charge, and there is no more Joseph. And over the course of time, he noticed and he became concerned that the population of the Hebrew children there in Egypt had multiplied so rapidly. He was fearful that they would take over Egypt. He was afraid that there were so many of them that they were going to turn on the Egyptians and take over them. And so this king, this Pharaoh, said, "We have to do something about this." And so to do something, he decided that what they would do is they would make all of these Hebrew people, they would force them into slavery and begin to oppress them into intense labor. And so they were the ones that they were using to build the pyramids and all of the infrastructure of Egypt that is still there today that we look at through all of our history books. This Pharaoh was forcing these Hebrew children into slavery to build all this stuff. That means no pay. That means go to work, work hard, and maybe eat, okay? So that's the conditions that they're in. And so as they're doing this, even though they are oppressed, the people still multiplied. They still grew. The nation was growing within Egypt, and these people continued to multiply among them. And I just want to say this, even in difficult seasons in your life, you can still thrive. even whenever it doesn't look like things aren't going too well, doesn't mean that you can't grow. Doesn't mean that you can't move forward. I felt like somebody needed that today, because you might be going through a tough season in your life. It may be just one of those years where you look back and you say, I hope I never ever have that year ever again. But you may see how God progressed you right through it. Amen. And so even though they're going through this oppression, they're still growing. They're still multiplying. And so this Pharaoh, this king of Egypt, he decided to take further action. And so he called this meeting of all the midwives that were delivering the children of these Hebrew people. So he called these midwives together, and he basically tells them, listen, whenever a son is born to these Hebrew women, they must be killed. And this is where abortion really begins. And it's pretty intense, because we're going to tell you the story of Moses today. And this is the kind of environment that he is introduced to, that he is born, where this king is saying, all of these male children that are born to these Hebrew women must be killed. And this is where we pick up the story in Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. And I have to tell you the backstory to set up the story, because whenever you hear it all, you will realize how God has a plan. Amen. So Exodus chapter 1, verse 17, it's, and if you have your Bible, you can follow along there. You can follow us on the screens right here. It says, but because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. Come on, the government can tell you a lot of stuff, but you still have to be obedient to God. Amen. And so they feared God. They refused to obey the king's order, and they allowed the boys to live too. They didn't do what the king told them to do. They trusted God. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? Now, I want you to hear this response. And if you're a lady here at church today and you needed encouragement, today was the right day to come. Amen. Verse 19, the Hebrew women, listen to what they said, because the Pharaoh's asking them, why are you doing this? And this is their response. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous. Come on, somebody. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. Come on, elbow your neighbor and say, that's a strong woman. They are so vigorous that the midwives can't even get there. These ladies are delivering their own children. Back off me, son. This is their explanation for why they're not doing what the king asked them to do. I thought that was intense. Verse 20, so God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives fear God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order. Watch, it gets even more intense. Then Pharaoh gave them this order to all the people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. This is what he's telling them to do. Go throughout, and everywhere you see a Hebrew boy, throw him in the river. This is intense. This is insane. But this is what they were doing. Jump to Exodus chapter 2, because this is where the story of Moses, right here in the middle of this, begins. Verse 1, about this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. And the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, watch this. This whole story today is just ridiculous, okay? She got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. This lady is losing her mind, am I right? This is just this whole story. In verse 4, the baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. And soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. And when the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. And when the princess opened it, she saw the baby, and the little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Follow this story, because you're about to see something happen here that is incredible. She asked, yes, do. Verse 8, the princess replied. So the girl went and called, listen to this, called the baby's mother. Somebody got to know God's got a plan in here. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother. I will pay you for your help. Don't forget, they were just brought into slavery. Of all people to find the child, Pharaoh's daughter, who you would think would be a law-abiding citizen in her daddy's house, finds the child and hires the child's mama to come and take care of the baby. Imagine if the daycare paid you. Come on, somebody. That's something to preach right there. I will pay you for your help. So the woman took, listen, I love how it says this. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. And later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. And the princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. Let's pray. Jesus, there is something that you want to communicate to your people today. And Lord, I'm asking you for your help. I'm asking you for your wisdom to share this message today. So I pray that every heart will be open to hear what you want to say. Lord, I ask you to help me to speak this in the tone and the tenor that you want it spoken. And God, I pray it will produce great results in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I guess if you had to find a key verse here, I would go for Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, she put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. Because in my mind, in this whole entire story, I just think that would be the absolute hardest thing to do. Am I right? I mean, to take a child and go to, you know, Hobby Lobby, get you a basket and spray it with some of that Super Seal stuff. You know, the guy in the boat, you know, how he sprays that. You know what I'm talking about, the commercial. Some of you, you don't watch TV. You're too holy. But anyway, those of us who do, the guy makes the boat, you know, he sprays the seal. And so she seals it up and has the audacity to place a child in there and send it down a river. And I just have to think, that lady might need to be checked. I mean, her mind, it seems like she could be losing her mind. But when you look at the rest of the story, you really realize she wasn't losing her mind. She was actually setting this whole thing up. And God's plan was actually going to be fulfilled through her actions. And I don't believe that gives us permission to do some ridiculous things. I do believe, though, it gives us an example to do some things that would be considered faithful, though. Amen? And so when you look at this story, Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, it just really jumps out at me. And if you really need a specific title for this message today, I think I would just entitle it, Put It in God's Hands. Put it. Tell your neighbor that. Help me preach this morning. Just tell them, put it in God's hands. Because some of you got some things that you're carrying that you absolutely have no business carrying. You have no business carrying, and you're trying to make it all happen. And it's just too much, and it's something that only God can carry. And in this situation, we definitely see that there was a situation that only could be handled if it was put into God's hands. Now, this is what I've learned, and I just want to share a few things this morning that I believe is going to relate to some situations in your life and every one of our lives. Putting it in God's hands can be very difficult to do with some things, am I right? And there are just other things where it's like, oh yeah, God will take care of it, and it doesn't even bother us to even say it. And so we just pray it, we say it, and we move on. But then there are other things that are very difficult to put into God's hands. And usually those things are the precious things. And I would definitely look at this situation of putting a child, that's a precious thing. And I would find that to be something very, very, very difficult to do. And perhaps some of the things that you're carrying, chances are you haven't put it in God's hands because it's precious to you. It's something that means a lot to you. And there are a lot of thoughts that go through your mind before you're just going to trust anybody with it. And so it causes you to hold on. It causes you to try to play the superhero and try to be God. But yet at the same time, this is more than what you can handle. And in this situation, Moses' mom, she's really in a difficult season. She's really in a difficult situation because this is beyond her, because she's had this child, and she has the choice to either give up the child and throw him in the river, hide the child and try to figure out how to make this work on her own, or put this child in God's hands. And there's ramifications for each of them. Because in one situation, she would lose her child. In another situation, she's got to figure out how to work it all out. In another situation, she has to trust God. Can you see the dilemma that this lady is dealing with? And I just have to let you know, I don't know who you call when you're in that situation. I don't know which Dr. Field subject is going to help cover that kind of territory. Because that is just too much. And I don't even think Oprah could come back and start her show and save the day, okay? This is really intense stuff. And so to be in the shoes of this woman, I would not want to be. But she really had no idea that when she put this child in this basket on the river, that it would really be the beginning of God's plan for Moses' life beginning to unfold. She didn't know. And so sometimes we don't understand that the sacrifices that we make can actually be the setup for what God wants to do. And so we have problems with sacrificing things because they mean so much to us that we're afraid that if I give it up, that I lose it forever. But in her situation, we see that when she gave it up, it was actually returned to her, and there was a little something extra added to it, a little lanyap added to it that just made the whole experience, when she looks back on it, worth her while. And so for a lot of people who are carrying things, I mean, if we were to go into detail of what we're carrying, some of us are carrying around some things from our childhood. Some of us have some mistakes, some sins that we committed in our past. We ask God to forgive us, but we still carry the weight and the guilt and the shame of it. Some of us carry around some sickness in our bodies. Some of us have some memories. I mean, some of us, our hands are so full with books of memories that if God were to try to give you something, you couldn't even receive it from him because you're carrying so much of what was that you're missing what is and what will be, what is to come. And so we got our hands full. And I can only assume that there are people in here perhaps with marriage problems and that weighs heavy on you. Or perhaps it's a decision with your career. Which way are we going to go? What can we do? Because this looks like a good option. That looks like a good option. So there's the weight of all of these decisions. And what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Or maybe you're just at a place right now where it's just a huge question mark. You ever been there before? Even though things might be in place, it still presents just a big question mark. And I have found that I don't know weighs more than anything else. Amen? I mean, I don't know just put you in a place of I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know who to call. I just don't know. I'm losing my mind and I don't know why. You ever been there? And so there's a lot of different things that weigh on us and that we're carrying. And certainly, though, we see in this story, this mother, she had a lot that she was carrying. She had a lot on her mind. She had a lot on her heart. She had a lot that was in her hands. So I asked this question, why is it so hard to put something in God's hands? And I think we could come up with a lot of reasons. And I think they would all be really legit. And some of us would explain from our previous circumstances and from other people's experiences why it would be difficult to do. But I think, just from my observations through my own life personally and dealing with other people, I think the reason it's so hard to put something in God's hands is because we're afraid of losing. We're afraid of losing it. Number one, we don't like to lose. Am I right? Any competitive people in here, we like to win. I mean, I love winning. And sometimes, though, when you go through a losing streak, it starts to mess with you a little bit. And so you approach the game differently. And so now you approach the game, instead of going in wanting to win, you go in just hoping not to lose. And some of you have experience with your own personal teams because they lose a lot. And so you know what that feels like. Others of you, they win a lot. And so losing is not an option. But it conditions your mind of how you approach different situations. Am I right? Because if you lost a lot, you're going to be careful. But if you win a lot, you're willing to take steps. You're willing to go for it. You're willing to throw the big bomb. Whereas if you're not winning, you're going to play it safe because the last time we tried something, there was a turnover and we lost. And maybe in your own life, you tried to take a step. You had a good friend that told you, you ought to try this. And so you listened to that good friend, and it turned out to be a miserable failure in your life. And now you can't stand the person. So every time you see them in the grocery store, you're avoiding them. But really, you want to go to them and lay hands on them suddenly and try to get spiritual and excuse your behavior, you know, because you're angry with what they have done to you. And so there's a lot of different things that have come into messing with our perspective. Can you imagine the perspective of these people because of the oppression. They have now been under the oppression of slavery, so the way they're thinking has changed, and now they're just trying to figure out, how can we get away from this? How can things get better when this is what was dealt to us? And so whenever they're having these children, this mother is trying to hide the child so that she can hopefully preserve his life, but yet there's only so much that she can do. And I want to talk to somebody who's ever been in a situation where there was only so much that they can do. Am I talking to the right people today? And so whenever we look at this story, there's a few things that come to our mind, because there are some people that give us the impression that they have absolutely no problems. You ever met those people before? On the outside, they just looks like, it just seems like they never ever have a problem. And sometimes they have, you know, they appear to be wealthy. And so they carry themselves in such a way that it makes us believe that they are completely successful. And they may not be successful in every area. They just may handle finances really well. And as a result, they have a few more things than you and I may have, and it could give the appearance that everything in their life is perfect and they never ever deal with the same things that I deal with. And that's just simply not the truth, because they're real people too, and they have real situations going on in their life. And just because they drive that car doesn't mean that their relationship with their spouse is all good, and doesn't mean that their kids are obeying everything they said. Now, if I want to flip the coin for you, it just because you see a person that doesn't have a lot, and doesn't drive the fancy car, sometimes it would lead us to believe that they're not successful, but yet their marriage may be thriving, and their relationships with their kids may be incredible. And so they may be driving the hoopty, but yet everything at the house is going really well. And so our definition of success usually is more external rather than what's the real situations, the real stuff that is going on. And oftentimes we determine people's strengths from their successes. And so it'd be easy to believe that because a person isn't seem successful on the outside, then they're really not that strong. And that could be the furthest thing from the truth. And in this story, we see how these people are oppressed, but yet even though they're oppressed, they're thriving. Even though they're slaves, they're still thriving. They're still multiplying. And that's why I say it's important for us to not take not let our conditions and our situations dictate really how our life goes. Because sometimes, can I just be honest? Sometimes it may not go well. Sometimes your child may decide to act a certain way in a Christian chicken restaurant while all the other people are there. You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't mean that you're a bad mom. It just means that your kids need a little bit more discipline. Amen? Amen? And listen, just because you can't have all the stuff that other person does, doesn't mean you can't afford it. It just means you choose to pay for the things that you already have. I mean, come on, let's get some perspective. But a lot of times our perspective is determined by these different things. And so I can only imagine the situation, the perspective that these guys are in because of the slavery and because of what they want to do to these children. And to see this woman take a step of faith, it really spoke volumes to me. Because I understood that this wasn't just a heroic story in a Bible. In the Bible, this was a woman, this was a person that had to step past even her own perspective, that had to step past even her conditions that are completely around her in order to do something and be faithful to God. And sometimes, can I just tell you, faithfulness is going to cost you something. I feel like I might need to preach that a little bit. Faithfulness to God is going to cost you something. It might cost you a friend. It might cost you some stuff. But faithfulness to God is better than all of that stuff. Amen? And we see it even in this story right here. So why is it so hard? Because we don't like losing. We don't want to lose it. And if I give it to God, I might lose it. And so rather it look like a sacrifice, it looks more like a punishment, because it feels like God is taking it away from me. Come on, somebody. It feels like, and the reason it feels that way is because our perspective is loss. Are you following this? Because that's what we've seen so much. That's what we've been dealing with so much. So everything that happens, it just feels like another loss. Come on, you've been there before where it just seems like everything just keeps going wrong. And so your attitude towards the next day isn't, today's going to be the best day ever. Let's be optimistic. It's, I wonder what's going to happen today, because it cannot get any more worse than yesterday. Ain't nobody amening on that. And that means somebody been there before. Do you see, though, how our perspective gets so messed up from our conditions? And what about whenever there's a group of people around us that are all in that same boat? Can you see how that stuff can just multiply? And what it will do is it'll keep you from seeing the goodness of God. It will keep you from seeing the possibilities of what God could do. I can only imagine that by taking this child and sending it on the river, you hope for the best. But in your mind, because of what you're going through, all you can think is, he's gone. And I want the weight of that to rest on you today. Because at the same time, when you see how God works, the weight of this is going to convince you of the faithfulness of God. Amen? And so when we think about losing, there's an uncertainty in it. And it's usually our uncertainty that leads to our unwillingness. Meaning this, if I don't know about it and I don't understand how it works, I'm probably not going to do it. Come on, anybody, that's how you roll? I mean, if I don't know all the details, I'm not in. And so a lot of times what I find with God is he just points in a direction and gives you zero details because he just wants obedience. Because he loves you and he knows that if you go that way, it's going to work out for you. But that's hard for us because we need to know how it's all going to add up. And God just wants to give answers. We want all the equation. He just wants himself to be our ultimate answer. And so what happens is the uncertainty puts us in a position where we're unwilling to do it. In other words, I need to know how everything works out before I get myself into it. Now, I look at this story with this woman. She didn't know how it was going to work out. She just threw herself right on into it. Sacrifice is putting it all in without knowing how it will all turn out. I think about parents who sacrifice for their children. You have no clue. Come on, that's what's so hard about parenting. You have no clue how they're going to turn out. But yet we sacrifice for them. Am I right? We sacrifice for them. We go beyond to make sure they have everything they need and a lot of what they want. And we're willing to sacrifice, and we don't even know the results that it's going to produce. And the reason we do it, why? Because we love them. Because our love overshadows the uncertainty. So what if our love for God would overshadow the uncertainties we have about the process in which God works? That's why we keep saying over and over, the love of God is so important. Not just his love for you, but your love for him. Because it's going to be the love that's going to cause you to trust. Amen? There are some things that you just wouldn't trust people with. There are some people, I just wouldn't let them carry my wallet. Am I right? Not that I'm rolling, y'all, but I just wouldn't let them carry my wallet because I don't want to just start rolling downhill, if you know what I mean. There are some people, I wouldn't let them drive my car. There are other people I wouldn't have a problem with. And I wouldn't trust them because I just have this thought that they may wreck it and ruin it, and then I'm stuck with all the repercussions. And so I would not put it in their hands. But there are some people I would have absolutely no problem because I know that I can trust them because I know that they love me. And they wouldn't do anything to harm me because they want me to win. Are you hearing this? Now, I feel the importance to remind you that Satan came to what? Kill, steal, and to destroy. He's coming to take from you, steal it, to take it, to kill, to destroy. We see that beginning to happen right here in this story where he was coming to steal, kill, and destroy this child. Hey, listen, you have to understand that Satan will destroy everyone to get to one. You don't believe me? It was happening when Moses was born, and it happened again 2,000 years, 6,000 years later when Jesus was born. Because the same issue, the same thing, verdict was issued. Go after every male child that was born. Go get them out of here. Because Satan knew there's somebody in there. There's someone in there that's going to save the world. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So listen, there are things that happen in our life where Satan's trying to steal, he's trying to kill, trying to destroy. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to change your perspective of God so that instead of putting it in his hands, you keep it all in yours. Are you hearing this today? So let's look at this story here a little bit and let's break it down. In Exodus 1, we read that there were some women who were vigorous and delivered their children without the midwives. I can hear this. This is what I can hear them saying. I will take care of this myself. I don't need no help. Come on, some of you ladies, you got a little southern attitude in you. You'd throw it around. I could do this myself. And as great as your strengths can be, your strengths can also become a weakness for you. Because sometimes we get some confidence from our abilities. Hear this. Sometimes we get confidence from our abilities, and that is the very thing that interferes with our convictions. Hear this. It interferes with the conviction of our dependability of God. Your ability can interfere with your dependability upon God. So I can see these ladies being deceived by their strengths. In other words, believing I'm so strong because I gave birth to this child. Come on, ladies, you get a little passionate whenever you start giving birth and you feel like you can do anything, superwoman. So I can imagine them feeling pretty strong and pretty good about themselves, and ain't nobody can stop me. But yet, at the same time, she's in this situation where it looks like mama's being stopped. And her strength would make her believe that I can take care of this. I can keep hiding the child, but she reached a point she couldn't hide him anymore. So let me just throw out this little warning about your strengths. Use your strengths, but never allow your strengths to keep you from dependent on God. You might be strong, but you still need God. Amen. Be strong, but know where your strength comes from. And don't allow your strength and your positive thinking to keep you from relying on him. Amen. I just felt like I had to say that before y'all get too excited. All right. So three things happened that I see in this story whenever we put it in God's hands. And I want you to hear these three things. And it's not going to take long because you're checking your watches and you're hungry. So here we go. Three things that happen when you put it in God's hands. And it just goes right along with the story. Number one is God's protection. When you read this story, you see God protecting that child. Amen. But she put him in God's hands. That's scary. But God protected the child. And what looked like a frightening situation, God protected Moses. So even though she put him in God's hands, she didn't lose him. What is it that you need to put in God's hands that you're afraid of losing? You won't lose it. He will protect you. This is really important stuff. He will protect you. How ironic is it that Pharaoh's daughter finds the child? I mean, that still just, this whole story just blows my mind. But how ironic is it that of all people to find the child, it's Pharaoh's daughter? And as ruthless as her father was, she heard this baby crying and had compassion. Doesn't seem like that would be the right house for that child to wind up in. All right? That's the last place you would want the child to wind up. But that was the place that the child had to be. Because there was a daughter there that had compassion on him. And isn't it something that this daughter needed someone to nurse the child? And Moses' mother was chosen. I think about the verse in Romans where it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Amen? He's causing it to work together, but we've got to put it in his hands so he can do the work on it. Here's the second thing that we see happen when we put it in God's hands. Number two is God's provision. God's provision. Remember, the Hebrew people are slaves, but Pharaoh's daughter finds this child and needs someone to nurse it. And that sister, come on, is in the right place at the right time. Listen, can I tell you that there are key people that God would put in your life at the right time? Amen? And there are key people that Satan will bring in your life at the right time too. And you better know the difference. Amen? But thank God that the right people were in the right place at the right time. And it turned this situation from a place of slavery to a place of prosperity. Amen? Because now the mother is being paid to be a mama. I know some of you ladies, you said it in your house before. They couldn't even pay me a year's salary to do this. They owe me more than this. Should have preached this on Mother's Day, baby. But when you put it in God's hands, we see His protection, but we also see His provision. Remember, our fear is losing. But we don't see losing happening here. What do we see? We see gain. We see thriving. Because no one would have thought that a slave girl would be paid to raise her own child, especially when the king gave the orders for every male child to be killed. But God had a plan. God's protection, God's provision. She was blessed even though she was oppressed. I like those rhyming ones because it makes you remember it. She was blessed even though she was oppressed. Here's the third thing. Not only did we see God's protection and God's provision, but we see God's purpose. Because that day, the purpose for Moses' life was kicked into gear. And I look back at this story, and as great a leader as Moses was, that boy better love his mama. Am I right? Because mama was the one who set this thing in motion. Just a word to all the parents out there. You have no clue what you might be setting in motion in your kids' lives. Put them in God's hands. I know it's scary because you think you're going to lose them. But that sacrifice is nothing more than the setup. In this story, you see the setup, and next week we're going to dive a little bit further into the practical side of this. But when you see this, this is what I want you to know. The child who was supposed to be aborted was the child who became the deliverer for all of the Hebrew people. He became the deliverer. He was the one they were trying to stop, and yet that was the one God was trying to raise up. Come on, somebody. When God's got a plan, it's hard to stop it. And I want you to know this morning that I think there's a lot of people in here in a lot of different situations, and you're trying to be responsible for your life, and I would say continue to be responsible. Make good decisions. But if there's anything that we have to know that we have to do with our lives is we got to put it in God's hands. And everything God gives us, put it in His hands, because it's safer when it's in His hands, because there's His protection, and His protection is better than our. Hey, listen, we're strong, and we got ideas. Come on, we can read about it in a book. We can brainstorm some stuff, y'all. But His protection, His plans are way better than our plans. His perspective is a lot clearer than ours. Can we say, God, put it in your hands, because you can protect it better than I can. You can provide for it better than I can. And your purpose is way better than any plan that I could ever map out. So this morning, I'm giving you the inspirational side. Next Sunday, I'm going to give you the practical side. But this morning, this is what I'm praying, that your faith right now is stirred, so that you would say, you know what? God, I'm going to put it in your hands. I haven't figured out all how to do that yet, but today I'm making a decision that this situation, this marriage, this child, this relationship, this career of mine, these finances of mine, all of this stuff that I'm dealing with, this past that I've been carrying around, this internal issue, these mental issues that I've been dealing with, all of these different emotional things, God, I'm putting it in your hands, because that's the best place for it to be. And in exchange, I need your protection. I need some peace. Come on, somebody. It's been a while. It's been a while since you had peace. If you put it in his hands, he'll give you peace. It's like this. You got so much in your hands, and you're trying to carry so much, that if God was trying to put it in your hands right now, you couldn't even receive it. Because your hands are so full with things that you aren't meant to carry. So he's trying to give you peace. Listen, you sat here today in the presence of God. There's no safer place to be than in the presence of God. But the reason that you can't walk out of here with peace is because you're still carrying the weight of all of these problems. But if you give him, if you give it to him, throw me the ball. Give it to me, because now my hands are free. I wonder what we're missing out on because of what we're carrying. Come on. I wonder how much guilt. Listen, sometimes we feel like we got to carry our guilt to punish ourselves, to prove ourselves good enough for God. Come on. So we're carrying that around, and no wonder we don't get the peace that comes from his forgiveness. All we get is an apology. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I promise I'll never do it again. And then there we go, doing it again. I give it to you, Lord. And in place of that, I receive that peace. I give it to you, Lord. And in place of that, I receive that protection. I give it to you, Lord. That provision. Give it to you, Lord. That purpose. What are you carrying? What is it that you're bowing up to? Trying to prove your strength to, when all God is asking you to do is to kneel before him.